Now, owning a home has long been a big piece of the American dream, but not all Americans have had the same access to try to make that a reality. The home ownership gap between black and white Milwaukeeans is 40%, according to ACTS Housing. The national numbers don't look much better. According to a report from the Joint Center for Housing Studies at Harvard, 43% of African Americans owned homes in 2017, compared to 72% of white Americans, and that gap seems to be widening over the years. Joining us now are two Milwaukeeans working to make home ownership possible for many diverse families in the city. Michael Gosman is the executive director of ACTS Housing in Milwaukee, an organization that seeks to empower people through home ownership. Michael, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Jomar Hooper is the Wisconsin market leader for Common Bond Communities, an organization that aims to build stable homes, strong futures, and vibrant communities. Jomar, welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Michael, let's start with you. A lot of issues behind this gap in home ownership. Can you talk about a little bit of the history that led to this big, substantial gap in home ownership between white and black Americans?
Yeah, well, when you see the numbers, they're really jarring. When the Urban Institute came out with their study in 2018 that showed the 40% gap between black and white home ownership in Milwaukee, it sort of confirms something that we might have seen or thought anecdotally, but it certainly hits hard. And the reasons for that are numerous, right? It's everything from really the laws of our government going back hundreds of years and until more recent times that made it more challenging for African Americans to access home ownership, racially restrictive covenants, redlining, and then a lot of person to person racism that exists in our community and has existed for a long time. And then you throw on top of that the foreclosure crisis of 2008 that disproportionately affected families living in our city who are mostly majority African American in the neighborhoods that were hardest hit. And you have a really toxic and sad situation that we're working hard to rectify.
Let's get into some of the impacts of this. Jomar, I know your organization works on housing stability, and that could be home ownership. It could be longer-term renting. But what does it mean? What's the difference between having stable housing, especially when you're bringing up kids, versus that uncertainty and that constant need sometimes to move around?
Well, it makes a lot of difference for our families. Just that.
Jomar, I'm sorry, we've got a bad connection. We just lost you on the line. We'll try to reconnect. So, Michael, let me throw a different question to you. What does this gap in home ownership mean in terms of financial security over time?
Well, it's just huge. I mean, the number one reason that families come to us wanting to access home ownership is that the cost to own is significantly less than the cost to rent. And so through our program, a typical family comes to us as spending $600-$800 a month, sometimes more, to rent. They can often save $200 or more to own when they own. And so home ownership for many families offers significant savings over rent, but it also presents the opportunity to accumulate wealth. And it's really staggering when you look at the wealth accumulation of African American families versus white families. For many middle class families and lower income families, home ownership is really one of the few ways that they may have access to gaining wealth, and the disparity is significant, in part because so few black families, such a low percentage, have been able to achieve home ownership as compared to whites.
And I understand over time, Michael, there was some improvement in African-American home ownership rates after the 1960s. A lot of that got hurt with financial downturns in 2001 and especially with the Great Recession. What did we see happen?
Yeah, well, the great impact in Milwaukee and really around the country was that home values, especially in neighborhoods that might have lower property values to begin with, really got inflated in the run up to the foreclosure crisis. So 2005, 2006, 2007, there were homes that were selling, in neighborhoods of Milwaukee for $100,000, $125,000. And then you fast forward, 2-3 years after the bubble burst, all of a sudden maybe those homes are worth $65,000 or $70,000. And so you have families who, even if they were able to hold on to their jobs, They're now so upside down in their mortgage that they're questioning, you know, do I stay in this house or do I not? And so it really decimated a lot of the people who'd been doing all the things they were told to do. They were told that home ownership was a pathway to the American dream, but then when property values dropped the way they did, they weren't left with any good options.
Joe, I think we've got Jomar back. Jomar, let's throw that question at you again, hopefully with a better connection now. Stability, what is the impact of having a stable housing, whether that's home ownership or a stable renting situation?
Well, from common bond's perspective, what we see is that's the initial first step to getting folks to where they need to be in life. So having that housing stability, that place to call their own, allows them to kind of set the stage for their life to kind of make the next step that they need to kind of advance past that, whether it's ensuring their kids are in a good school district, getting a great education, whether they're able to move forward in jobs through promotions or through job changes, or do additional education for themselves. So I think just that foundation and that stability is the base of life, so that they can advance themselves afterwards, whether that be in stable rental housing or preferably also in stable homeownership.
We're talking with Michael Gossman, Executive Director of ACTS Housing in Milwaukee, and Jomar Hooper, Wisconsin Market Leader for Common Bond Communities, looking at a big gap between white and black Americans when it comes to home ownership. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you see in your own community? If you're a person of color yourself, were you able to buy a home? What were some of the obstacles you face when it comes to home ownership? How important is this for your family, for your community? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Coming up, we'll take a look at what both of our guest organizations are doing in Milwaukee to try to tackle at least some pieces of this problem. That's coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about historically low home ownership rates for African Americans nationwide and what that looks like here in Wisconsin and in Milwaukee in particular. Jomar Hooper is Wisconsin Market Leader for Common Bond Communities. Michael Gossman, Executive Director of ACTS Housing in Milwaukee. I want to ask both of you about some of your efforts in the Milwaukee community to tackle some of these problems. Jomar, let's start with you. What are you at Common Bond doing in Milwaukee to help create more stable housing?
So traditionally, we are a multifamily rental organization. But we've been trying to make steps and strides that once we have stability for our renters and solid quality affordable housing, we want to see how we can help them take the next step to get into their own home if they're ready and willing at the time. So we're fortunate to have some great organizations like ACTS Housing and other housing counseling agencies throughout the city that we're hoping to partner with in the future to be able to identify our residents who are ready to make that next step. We have a captive audience, and we have a service model that will allow us to make those connections to get folks in there, have the conversations with them for those who are ready that can take the next step, or to hopefully build a pipeline and a path for those who hopefully can make that step in the future. We've already done a program similar to this in the Twin Cities with the Minnesota Housing Finance and several other local nonprofits, and we hope to replicate that success that we've had from that housing program with our partners in the Milwaukee area as well, too.
And Michael, can you talk about what you're doing at ACTS, in some cases helping connect people with houses that they can afford and helping them along through the process, but it looks like having them, the home buyer themselves, really be in the driver's seat.
Yeah, we think that's super important. So the families that come to us, and we have a weekly orientation at ACTS. This year we expect we'll have at least 1,000 individuals who will reach out to us, sick of renting, interested in thinking about home ownership, and we offer them a pathway. It's not an easy path. It requires a lot of hard work on their part, but then we're their guide throughout that process. So we'll work with them, counsel them to prepare them for home ownership, help them fix up their finances and work out an action plan. Once they can qualify for financing, we are a real estate brokerage, so we'll represent them in the market to get them the best deal for them and their family. And then we've got two extra services that are quite unique. We coach families through the rehab of distressed homes, and so that's really a specialty of ours. And I'd say to your listeners, if you're out there, you're renting, especially someone who has skills, someone who has vision, someone who doesn't mind putting in some hard work to save money in terms of the purchase price, we help families fix up homes that are distressed, often getting them really good deals. And then for those families that are doing the rehab, we have our own loan products. We'll lend money to families to support them in their efforts. So you said it correctly. The family's in the driver's seat. We're so amazed at the strength of families that continually reach out to us. This year, we think we'll help in excess of 170 families who become new homeowners, and it's because of their strength, and often they just need a little bit of help to navigate the process.
Let's bring on a caller now. Fred is with us in Erin. Fred, hello.
Hello. How are you this afternoon?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Fred?
Well, I was an educator in the Milwaukee public school system for about 35 years, and starting in the mid-70s, through about 2005. And for that first decade, you did not see a great deal of transient student population because things were all pretty stable, and that had a lot to do with the economy. But when parents either lost job because of manufacturers moving out or whatever the case may be, and many of those families were renting, and maybe they got evicted because lack of job or whatever. And then by the time that student got pulled out of a classroom, which might take a week or two, and then by the time they get settled in, there's another week or two of transition into the new school, it wouldn't be uncommon to see as many as a third of a classroom trickle in as new students.
Fred, thanks a lot for the call. I want to jump in. And we've been hearing about current reporting backing up what Fred's is talking about with Erin Richards of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Joe Mark, can you talk about that if people, again, are having to move around, how that can be disruptive, as Fred is saying, to a kid's education?
Yeah, as a Milwaukee graduate, MPS graduate, I've seen it kind of firsthand through my time there and through my experiences working with the district, that it's just it's an epidemic currently right now. We've seen issues where kids can lose up to 1 year of academic progress based upon moves that they've had during the school year. So that not only affects the child and them having to catch up once they move to a new school district, plus the issues with busing, it also affects the school culture and climate as well, too, which potentially has some effects upon what we're seeing with our results from Milwaukee Public Schools and other school districts in the region. So it's kind of a trickle-down effect when it comes to the transient nature of a lot of our families.
Fred, thanks for the call. Michael, in our last minute or so, can you talk about home ownership and housing stability and the positive impact that can have on a neighborhood, on a community?
So the families that reach out to us, you know, their first ambition is usually, you know, they want to be stable, they want to create a good environment for their kids, and that's where it starts. You know, just save a little bit of money, get into a decent house. But it goes so far beyond that, right? Because you know, once they have a place that they can live, that they can afford, with the savings that they've achieved, maybe they can have some better food on the table. They're way more likely to take care of the yard than an absentee investor owner might. So it creates this positive energy on the block. Their kids are much more likely to be successful in school. The health outcomes are better. So there's just all this data that supports if you can get a family into stable housing, and even better, get them into an ownership situation where they're really stable and they're accumulating equity, it just has a huge impact on the family, not just financially, but really emotionally, and extending beyond that to the neighborhood. And that's what we're trying to do, you know, through helping families one by one, really help them create the stronger neighborhoods that all of our cities really want.
Michael, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Jomar, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you very much.
We have been talking about home ownership rates among white Americans and African Americans, a big gap between the two. Jomar Hooper was with us, Wisconsin market leader for Common Bond Communities, and Michael Gossman, executive director of ACTS Housing in Milwaukee.